Now back to the afternoon show with Atiba Buchanan and Darlene Hill on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Shifting gears here to talk about our 4 o'clock topic. We're parents. Parents, grandparents, you see all these crazy little challenges that go around social media, from TikTok to Instagram to whatever, where kids are doing the ghost pepper challenge. Kids are doing the cinnamon challenge, stand up in a chair and move the chair where it almost looks like you're committing suicide challenge. The choking game. There have just been so many challenges out there, so many injuries. Sadly, some people have lost their lives. What recourse do parents have?
Right now, not much. Mm-hmm. They had the U.S. Senate had these hearings on social media, and they dragged in all the heads of the major social media companies and really put them on the spot. And you know, in D.C., nobody agrees on anything. The Democrats and Republicans fight about everything.
Right.
But on this one thing, they were united. These companies need to take action to protect children, and not just from these crazy games, but also from pedophiles. There's so many things that
somebody
need to be
needs
done.
To be protecting the children.
But the biggest shock to me watching it was when I learned you cannot sue these companies if they cause your children harm. You can sue every other business, but you can't sue these social media companies.
So Facebook, Instagram, TikTok cannot be sued. Snapchat.
They cannot be sued. It's insane.
You can sue your doctor. You can sue your attorney.
You can sue McDonald's if the coffee's too hot.
Right, right. You know? Or if your chicken wing or chicken nugget isn't big enough.
Right.
But you cannot sue these social media companies.
No, no. And so it's funny because usually Republicans aren't big fans of trial lawyers, but even the most conservative Republican senators were saying families need to be able to sue. So Steve Levin, founding partner of Levin and Bercanti, is joining us now on the radio. Steve has been interested in this issue for several years now, and he's been researching it because this is insane that you can't sue them. And really the only way to probably clean up the industry is for them to get hit with some big lawsuits. So Steve, thank you for joining Darlene Hill and I this afternoon. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Hey Steve, thank you so much for joining us. Let's talk about your research. What gets you so upset about not being able to sue social media companies?
Well, the law that Ann was talking about basically says you can't sue social media companies for people harmed by content on the site that they didn't publish, which happens to be all the information on the site. So you have a business that's a multi-billion dollar business, in many cases run by the titans of the tech world, that sole purpose is to get people to talk to each other and put contents on their site so they can sell ads, yet they want to say they're not going to be responsible for that content. No other business that I know of can get away with that. Their product is designed to generate content from anyone who posts on the site. They know that there have been many, many, many instances that you yourself talked about, Darlene, about children being injured, scared, traumatized, or worse, even killed as a result of the content on the site, which is how they make their money, but they're saying they can't be sued. That's a law that needs to be changed.
And Steve, part of the problem to me seems to be that the tech industry changes so quickly, and most of us, frankly, don't understand it. So the legislation was meant to be regulating it and protecting kids. And, you know, 2 days later, the industry and the technology has changed, and those laws don't do much good anyways. So is it really the litigation that's going to force these companies to clean up their act? Is, you know, getting hit with some big lawsuits really going to get them to do what they should be doing?
Well, Ann, that is a great point. We know that there is, a little bit of an understatement, a lot of dysfunction in our government when they're trying to get things done. We know in today's world our government seems to be unable to get anything done. And plus, this is a complex area, as you said, Ann, that's rapidly changing. The way to get around that problem was just as Lindsey Graham suggested at the hearings is, if the public feels that, if jurors, give trial lawyers the right to sue, And if trial lawyers find that the companies were not acting reasonably in screening the material that went on their site, or that there's an inherent defect in their product, meaning no matter what they do, people are going to be harmed by that conduct, well, then those companies should be responsible for that in lawsuits, and let a jury decide whether they should be compensate their victims or be punished. And when a jury gets hold of some of the emails that have come out, how they're cutting corners here, how they can't really police it, how there's more there that they can do anything about, they're going to be infuriated. Trial lawyers have actually done this in other industries where government couldn't act. With smoking, smoking would be a whole different scenario without the trial lawyers' lawsuits. With opiates, government did nothing about that. Trial lawyers did, because trial lawyers function at the most direct level of government, a 12-person jury who talks, who's the conscience of the community, who will evaluate the conduct in a fair and full, in a full and fair forum, and will come to a decision. That's the purest form, in my opinion, of government, the 12-person jury.
Steve, I've got to put you on hold for a quick second while we take a quick break here at WVON. But when we come back, I want to dig a little deeper into what you just said on how, you know, some of these companies, CEOs of these social media companies say, heck, I didn't put the post up. That's not our responsibility. But they do have a responsibility of taking down some of this mess. So let's talk about that on the other side of the break. Get involved in the conversation, WVON listeners. You know how we do. 773-591-1690. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to The Afternoon Show here at WVON. Atiba Buchanan is off. Ann Kavanaugh from Fox Chicago News is filling in. She's sitting in my seat today, and I'm sitting in Atiba's seat today. It's a good conversation, isn't it, Ann?
I know. It's like the old days back in the Fox newsroom. Something never changed.
Only we get to say whatever, okay? It doesn't matter, as long as we keep the conversation going. And that's what we're doing with our good friend on the phone right now. We're just talking about social media, how everybody can be sued. You can be sued. Steve can even be sued, but these social media companies cannot be sued. And Steve, you said something earlier just about how, you know, the companies, we didn't create this content, we didn't post this. It's not about the act, it's what you do when it's done, though, right? Because they have every responsibility of taking some of that stuff down. And maybe that's why we wouldn't, maybe as consumers, we wouldn't be so mad about them being unable to be sued.
Well, Darlene, there's a couple parts to that question. Yes, they should screen the material very carefully to make sure harmful content doesn't get on the site. Yes, as soon as harmful content gets on the site, it should be taken down. But here's the issue that I think is the biggest issue that really wasn't brought out in the hearings, and that is there is no way humanly possible for them to screen or take down all the content that appears on their site from billions of users. But that should not give them immunity. If they can't control the forum, if they know that the people posting on that forum are harming children, regardless of whether they could have taken it down or not, they should be held responsible. It's their product. It's a fiction to saying it's not their words. They are creating a forum where billions of people can say whatever they want, and that's how they make their money. And if those people say things that harm other people, especially children, they should be held responsible. It's called product liability. The product itself is defective if it can't be controlled by the people who are making money from the product.
You know, Steve, that's interesting because sometimes products are just too dangerous and they either have to be taken off the market or they have to be at least suspended while they can figure out how to make it safe. Just look at Boeing with the incident there. They suspended all those planes from flying. But there's nothing to be done with social media. I mean, maybe they should be suspended like Boeing so they can figure out how to make this safer for our kids.
Well, Ann, that's a really good point, and it builds on the point that Darlene is making. If an airplane comes out of the factory and it has a defect, whether it was reasonable or unreasonable, whether someone made a mistake or not. And that defect hurt someone, under the laws of product liability, Boeing is responsible. Just like this product, if it has a defect, and it's foreseeable that that defect is going to injure someone, like a child, they should be responsible. So if the social media companies were really honest, they'd go before Congress and give them this choice. Either allow us to be sued because we cannot police the entire site. There's just too much to do. That's neither right or wrong. That's a fact. Billions of users, you know, and with AI, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. So if society wants to tolerate that kind of site, regardless of who posts the content that harms other people, and to hold them immune from that, then that's a societal decision. But I think it's the wrong decision, because harm is being created as we speak. Kids are getting taunted. Kids are getting bullied. Kids are getting depressed. Kids are getting mental problems. And worst case scenario, people are harming themselves as to what comes on this content. That's how they make their money. And if they make their money with other people's content should be responsible when that content hurts others. That's my position. And allow trial lawyers to bring those lawsuits. And if they can prove the case, then the victims will be compensated and the companies will be punished.
So what should families do now? Let's say they have a child that has been victimized by this. Should they still go to a lawyer and have a suit ready to go so they're ready when the law does change?
I would advise a parent who has child who has been significantly victimized by this type of conduct to contact the lawyer and find out what, under current law, legal rights they have. Because there's lawsuits being brought right now that are trying to get around this immunity that they're not responsible for other people's conduct. So, for example, you could say, well, they may not be responsible for, you know, two people saying something about a third person, but the algorithms built into their software directs kids to that exact site.
We're not putting
the content, but we have an algorithm that I couldn't explain. We have an algorithm that's going to put the third child, the victim, to that site. Oh, but we're not responsible for what these two others say, and that's wrong.
So our kids are just being set up, Steve? Is that what you're saying? Basically?
It's inherent in the product that they're being set up, right? What does the product want to do? They want to get as many people seeing the content. They tailor the content, as we know, politically and all other ways, to their audience. So they're tailing the content. They're leading the kids to this content, not knowing it's harmful, but they're leading the kids to the content. And if the content turns out to be harmful and it harms these kids, that's why they should be responsible.
Okay, now I know before the show started, Ann and I told you we'd only keep you for 20 minutes. I need you to answer something on the other side of a break, so you got to stay longer with us. Do you think, like you said, you talked about, you use the analogy of tobacco and opioids, do you really think social media is addictive? Answer that on the other side of the break. Can you hang with us, Steve?
Be happy to.
Okay, thank you so much. We'll be right back, everybody. Welcome back, everybody, on this Tuesday. Here we go again. We're going to keep the conversation going about social media and how they cannot be sued. Joining us, staying with us, and we so appreciate it, is founding partner of Levin and Percanti. Steve Levin is on the line. And Steve, I was just asking you, because you use that analogy in talking about, you know, how trial lawyers really went after tobacco companies, opioids, those companies, and you won. You were successful. And I asked you about how addictive social media could be. You've done a lot of research. So what do you think? Is it addictive?
Great question. 100% addictive. I'd argue more addictive than opiates and cigarettes. Any parent of any child on social media who has a mobile device knows how addictive it is. But it's even stronger than addiction. Kids today cannot be part of a group, cannot have friends, cannot communicate if they're not on social media.
Yeah.
So not only is it addictive, they've made it an essential part of a child, teenager's life. Because imagine a teenager with everyone else in the class on social media, and they're not. They don't call each other on the telephone. They don't communicate in writing. That's how they communicate. So I'd say it is equally, if not greater, addictive than opiates and cigarettes. And even more so, cigarettes and opiates aren't essential to life. But imagine a child, and I sympathize for the parents. Everyone says, well, it's the parents' fault. Keep them off of social media. Well, maybe at a certain age, that's okay. But you can't keep them off it their whole life, because they won't be able to communicate with their peers. So it's not only addictive, but it's become a necessity. And they've created it. It didn't happen by accident. The social media companies created it. And again, they should be responsible when their creation harms others.
That's a great point, Steve, because it is essential, especially for kids. Once they pass that junior high age, you really can't keep it away from them. Even just for safety reasons, how to track your kids to know where they are. And I feel so sorry for younger parents today, because I don't know what I would do. You know, it wasn't as bad when Darlene and I were discussing
right.
this. You know, our kids are about the same age, and it wasn't as bad.
In their mid-20s, right.
Yeah, it wasn't as bad when they were younger. It wasn't great, but it wasn't as bad as it is today. And I just have such sympathy for parents, because I don't know what they should do.
Right. It's their method of communication. It's how kids communicate with other kids. I mean, we all know as parents or as grandparents, to try to get a kid to call you on the telephone is impossible. To try to communicate other than by text is impossible. They don't accept voicemails. That's just not how they communicate. They communicate on social media.
And let me ask you this, though, Steve. Why is it then that you really do think that the only way to bring about change or the only way to get something positive out of social media is to go after litigation? That's the only way you say we are going to control or have any power over the CEOs of these social media sites.
The reason I feel that is I don't, for what both of you have been saying, government can't keep up. If they pass a law today, if we're lucky enough to get a law passed, if we can get past their arguing, it'll be outmoded by the time they pass it. They'll be regulating social media, then we'll have artificial intelligence. So there's no way that laws can keep up with the pace of technology. And I think our jury system was designed to allow juries to express the voice of the community through their verdicts. And social media can present their case, and the harm people can present their case, and a jury can decide, but who's better than your peers than to make these kind of decisions? So I don't know of any other body that can do it effectively.
Steve, as I said at the start of this segment, I was watching those hearings, and I was shocked. I had no idea you could not sue these companies. That was shocking to me, and I think a lot of Americans were shocked by it, frankly. So what needs to be done so people can pursue justice through the courts? Do we need new laws in place? Does the Supreme Court have to rule on this? What are the next steps to clear the road for litigation?
Congress needs to repeal what's called Section 230, which is the law that gives social media companies immunity. Now, they could repeal it and put certain protections for the companies in the repeal, but you cannot have a blanket immunity for social media companies for the content that's on their site. I mean, it's sort of tricky to say they're not responsible for what other people place on their site. That's all that's on their site, right? So they're just not responsible for a site. So, you know, I don't know. You could think of other analogies. If you create a situation in any other aspects of society where you're giving a forum for people who are potentially going to hurt other people, and you're creating that forum and you're making money off of it, shouldn't you be responsible?
Yeah, yeah.
To me, it's not a difficult question. I mean, you know, in the old days, maybe I'm part of the old days, you know, the newspaper couldn't hurt kids like this. Books couldn't hurt kids. They weren't, you know, it makes sense that newspapers and other forms of media, and maybe even TV, aren't responsible for the content that they put on it, although I don't think TV has immunity, interestingly enough. But this is the whole purpose, is to generate this type of content. And it's so well known that it harms people that, you know, I'm repeating myself, but I feel passionately about this topic that I can't think of any other way it can be accomplished. I can't think of any other way social media can be regulated other than to allow people to hire lawyers, present their case, social media can present its case, and if a jury of their peers feels that they're responsible for what happened to the victim in the case, then they need to pay.
But then, period. Yeah, and you were saying earlier, if a parent is out there listening to this segment and they feel like, you know, their child was harmed by the actions of others on social media, then you're like, just go ahead and file that lawsuit. But do you want it to fall into that pile of the other hundreds of lawsuits across the country that are just waiting to be filed, including that the larger one out of Seattle that you talked about? So,
right.
So what should we be doing? What's next steps?
Well, I think parents have to do the best they can to watch what their children are doing on social media. And I know it's easy for me to say, it's a huge task, because I have 15 grandkids, so I see what my children and their spouses go through trying to monitor their social media. I see that, you know, on a regular basis, some child that they know or themselves are harmed by something. So parents have to do the best they can to monitor it, but they're never going to be 100% able to do it. There's just too much of it. So they should contact a lawyer, and the lawyer may say the suit's premature, but there are, you know, I just think just so they understand their rights, it can't hurt to call a lawyer. It just can't hurt. There's no downside to it. Lawyers don't charge to review the case, and they may say it's premature, it's too early to file such a suit. But there's always, you know, it's worth a call.
All right, Steve.
It's worth a call to our firm if someone wants to, you know, find out their rights.
Yeah.
But it is in its beginning stages of litigation. I mean, you know, 15 years ago, you couldn't sue because of opiates. And 20 years ago, you couldn't sue because of tobacco.
Right.
And they used to say then, well, it's your fault. You're smoking. It's your choice. Well, but then lawyers started to discover documents that said, well, it is your choice whether to smoke or not, but what about these multi-million dollar advertising campaigns that cigarette companies do to get you to smoke, right? It's the same thing in social media. I mean, I think it's almost an identical analogy.
Good deal. Steve, if people want more information, thank you so much for hanging with us. We so appreciate this. And let me ask you quickly, how long have you been researching this?
Well, I've been interested in this area for at least the last 5 years.
Wow.
And eventually we probably will file a suit, but we're sort of seeing how things are going to play out. But it horrifies me. It horrifies me that they can get away with this.
And keep getting away with it. People want more information. Where can they go? What's your web address, Steve?
Well, you can find us at Levin Perconti, LevinPerconti. .com, or, you know, you can always call our phone, 312-332-2872. But it's easy to find us from our website just by the name Levin Perconti. You'll find our website. There's ways to contact us through the website. But the phone number, again, is 312-332-2872. And I'm not suggesting we can help everyone, but I think everyone should have the opportunity to talk to a lawyer. And if the right case is there, we would consider pursuing it.
All right, good deal.
But it's an uphill battle. I'm not going to deny that. But it will get there. In 5 years, social media companies will be where tobacco and opiates are. That's my prediction.
All right, good deal. Steve, we've had the Steve Levin, the founding partner of Levin and Perconte on the live line with us. We so appreciate your research of 5 years, and then, of course, you're sharing your knowledge with us here at WVON. We appreciate it. Happy Valentine's Day.
I appreciate you having me and allowing me to communicate this message.
All right, good deal.